Gross Encounters of the Worst Kind. Yes, Gross Encounters of the Worst Kind, episode number 114.
I can't understand it, Henderson. It's been a most baffling case. We here with intelligence headquarters can't quite figure it out.
Colonel, we've got to examine the facts. This strange and wholly unnatural phenomena has haunted and terrified unsuspecting citizens every week for 2 years now. And according to its past behavior, it should strike again today. We can't explain it, Colonel. It could be some dastardly outer galactic plot to destroy the will and minds of our people. No human could possibly concoct up a horror such as this.
We've got to stop it, Henderson, at all costs. What do you propose to do?
Our reports have pinpointed the origin of these mystery occurrences to be Studio A of the Vancouver Cooperative Radio Station. In exactly 60 minutes, you and I will cleverly disguise ourselves as discarded waste papers strewn about the floor, slink into that room, and wait. Colonel, I've got to warn you now. There's no telling what this evil entity might turn out to be. Our only clue comes from Agent 91, the poor devil. He keeps babbling about ghostly sounds of weird music permeating the air, and then...
And then what, Henderson?
We don't know, Colonel. 91 hasn't been able to tell us what happened next.
Only a few more minutes to go, Henderson. There's no turning back now.
No, Colonel. There's no turning back. The weird music, it should begin any second now. Yes, there it is. I hear it. It's getting louder. It's coming closer.
No, Henderson. Not that. It can't be. Yes, it's...
It's...
Panda guy, do-do-do-do-do. Panda guy, do-do-do-do-do. Here comes Panda guy.
Panda what? Are you crazy or something?
No. You know, Panda guy, street, Chinese for street. Go guy, kefir guy. How about sesame guy?
What? What guy, what?
Panda guy!
This is Panda Guy. I'm Kimin Wong with Jeannie Chow, and if you stay with us for an hour, you'll find out
what the Asian community in Seattle has done to bridge the communication gap between the community and the Seattle Police Department.
We'll find out a little bit about the ideal job. Having fun can also reap financial rewards.
We'll feature a collection of Chinese folk and art songs in English.
We'll shock you with some information used to distinguish the physical appearances between the Japanese and Chinese in World War II.
We'll visit a small Chinese restaurant which has become a landmark all because of just one customer's visit.
Are you applying for Canadian citizenship? Find out how you can bone up for your interview. All this and more on...
this week's edition of Panda Guy. This next music selection is called Sarong Si Hong Yao Mong, which is about two lovers dreaming about each other, and it's sung by Mwai Gok, a popular Hong Kong singer. The music used is very popular, and several songs have been adapted to it.
Oh, 心思自由和轮送。前面因已转眼空，天已变作浓，盟誓有何用，相思空有梦，一朝分散很无穷。
Was held quite recently in Seattle to help bridge the communication gap between the Asian community and the Seattle Police Department. One recommendation that they came up with was to suggest that bilingual officers be provided for Seattle's international district. Among the problems discussed was Asian recruitment into the police department, especially the need for bilingual police, and they stressed the hiring of Chinese and Samoan bilingual police and encouraging Asian officers to work with the Asian communities. Also, the people in the forum suggested that every 2 years that police officers and administrative staff be required to attend Asian cultural sensitivity sessions during in-service training. It was recommended that a permanent mayoral appointed advisory body be established to make sure that these recommendations of the workshop were implemented. And according to the recommendation, their advisory would serve as kind of like a continuing advocate for the Asian communities in Asian rural relations. There'll be a follow-up community meeting to iron out the bugs before they submit it to the mayor and the police chief. We'll keep you posted on what'll happen in the near future.
Left hand drumming, right hand drumming. I'm singing along with my flower drum. I don't know any other songs, only the song of the flower drum. Such a hard life, a really hard life, married to no good husband for the rest of my life. Other husbands are officers. Mine can only play the flower drum. Such an unhappy life, a really unhappy life. Married to no good wife for the rest of my life. Other wives can sew and sew. My wife has two fat wings.
Yangtze upstream where I live.
Yangtze upstream is where I live, and at its lower part, you reside. Though we partake of the same water, you are far beyond my sight. The river will never run dry, neither will my regret come to an end. I only wish your heart were more like mine, so that our mutual longing may bring us some content.
branches of a rose.
I wish that the merciless storm would not strike me. I wish that the sentimental visitors would not pick me. I wish that I would never wither, so that I may forever retain my beauty. This next song is All Red the River. It's a folk song, and it's arranged by T.H. Chen. The poem was written by the scholar general Yu Fei, who is a hero in the Song Dynasty. That's from about 960 to 1279 A.D. It was probably written a little while before he was executed by the Prime Minister Qin Kuei. That was in 1141 A.D. The poem expresses staunch heroism and unwavering loyalty of the general Yu Fei. The source of the tune is unknown, but it's considered to have been originated in about the same period.
The Misty Mountain.
This is written by Zi Huang, and it's derived from a poem entitled The Song of Everlasting Melancholy. The poet describes love as a flower in the mirror or reflecting moon in the water, which ends with nothing but emptiness. The poem itself describes the love story of Tang Ming Huang, who is an emperor in the Tang Dynasty, which was from 618 to 907 AD. Because of his infatuation with his beautiful concubine, the emperor neglected his state duty, and so a rebellion broke out in 755 AD. PhD. His followers forced the girl to commit suicide in order to save the kingdom. And since then, no one was able to relieve the emperor from his sorrow. The story continues with the legend that the emperor asked his wisest priest to search for her soul in the Misty Mountain, thus the title of the poem.
How to Tell Japs from the Chinese, an article in the December issue of Life magazine, 1941. The subheading screams, Angry citizens victimize allies with emotional outbursts at enemy. And the text reads as follows. Remember that this was in Life magazine during the Second World War. In the first discharge of emotions touched off by the Japanese assaults on their nation, U.S. citizens have been demonstrating a distressing ignorance on the delicate question of how to tell a Chinese from a Jap. Innocent victims in cities all over the country are many of the 75,000 U.S. Chinese whose homeland is our staunch ally. So serious were the consequences threatened that the Chinese consulates last week prepared to tag their nationals with identification buttons. To dispel some of this confusion, Life here addresses a rule of thumb from the anthropometric confirmations that distinguish friendly Chinese from enemy alien Japs. To a physical anthropologist devoted to debunks of race, hold on a sec. To physical anthropologists devoted to debunking of race myths, the difference between Chinese and Japanese is measurable in millimeters. Both are related to the Eskimo and North American Indians. The modern Jap is the descendant of Mongoloids who invaded the Japanese archipelago back in the midst of prehistory and of the modern Jap is the descendant of Mongoloids who invaded the Japanese archipelago back in the midst of prehistory and of the native Aborigines who possessed the islands before them. Physical anthropology, in consequence, finds Japs and Chinese as closely related as Germans and English. It can, however, set apart the special types of each national group. Now there's two pictures of two faces with arrows pointing to the pictures with little notes on the side, somewhat like a taxonomic diagram of an exotic species of animal. The typical northern Chinese, represented by Ong Wen Hao, Chongqing's Minister of Economic Affairs, is relatively tall and slenderly built. His complexion is parchment yellow, his face long and delicately boned, his nose finely bridged. Sounds as though there are really subtle differences. Representative of the Japanese people as a whole is Premier and General Hideki Tojo, who betrays Aboriginal antecedents in a squat, long torso build, a broader, more massively boned head and face, flat, often pug nose, yellow ochre skin, and heavier beard. From this average type, aristocratic Japs who claim kinship to the imperial household, these diverge sharply. They are proud to approximate its patrician lines of the northern Chinese. So there it is, an actual article in Life magazine 37 years ago.
Onon Tea Garden is one of the most well-known Chinese restaurants in Vancouver. Ken Wong and Larry Wong, same surname but unrelated, have been operating Onon at 214 East Pender since 1955. In those days, the restaurant consisted of a coffee counter and booths. Breakfast foods were served but discontinued as the demand for it was lacking. Around 1960, The coffee bar was torn down and booths replaced it. In 1969, Onon took over a small square property east adjacent to the alley rented by Kaesun Vegetable Shop. Further expansion occurred in 1973 when a property west of Onon, formerly Harry James Insurance Agency, was taken over. William, the head waiter, was relating these facts to me. He had been in this restaurant's employ for over 15 years. Onon will expand no further, he says, as there is no more space to move to. It will stay within its present area of 3,000 square feet. As for the dining area, about 150 people can be accommodated in the small balcony and main floor. Lunches, dinners, and even banquets of up to 90 people can be served. The staff consists of three chefs who have learned their art of Chinese Cantonese-style cooking from the province of Guangdong in China. Two helpers aid them, and 10 waiters make up the rest of the staff. Over Onon's 23 years of operations, the prices were raised only 6 times. William wishes the menu prices could be lowered, but the cost of food is always rising. Furthermore, the devaluation of the Canadian dollar has a crushing effect on purchasing power. Vegetables not in season cost much more, and seafood especially is very expensive. Some foods such as dried mushroom, shrimp, octopus, squid, and other products are obtained from a variety of places, such as Hong Kong, Taiwan, Japan, China, Korea, and the Philippines. One of the favorite foods consumed is wonton. While talking to me, William expelled wonton in a rapidly growing pile. In one motion, he rolled a paper-thin flour square around a lump of pork, dipped egg on the corners, and folded them securely. Almost 1,000 wonton are made each day. Ever since Kujou ate his humble supper here in 1971, the clientele has changed drastically from Chinese to Caucasian majority. The customers, one supposes, are fairly transient. Not at all, William explains. Most of the business comes from regular customers. Some have been coming for over 20 years. Ever since he started, has seen some people grow up before his eyes. On fair file days, lineups in front of this restaurant at dinner time are incredible. I happened to come across some of these people on one very wet day. What were their opinions of Onon?
For what reason do you come to this restaurant?
My parents introduced me to this restaurant a couple of years ago, and since they're paying the tab, I'll come to it.
Oh. Do you like the food here?
Yeah, it's nice. I like the food here. Their spare ribs are quite good. And seems other meals are fairly good also.
What dishes do you especially enjoy eating?
Oh, the spare ribs.
Are you a regular customer here?
Not really. I come here maybe once every couple of months. You wouldn't really call that regular, would you?
That's not bad. Oh. Do you think Pierre Trudeau's visit to this restaurant influenced your decision? Coming here?
In a way, I guess, but if the food hadn't been very good, I wouldn't have come back. I guess that's true. There's a bit to that, in that Trudeau came here. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, thank you very much. Could you tell me why you come to this restaurant?
We have for years. My parents always came here, and why we come here, and the food's terrific, and it's a reasonable price.
Oh, what kind of food do you especially like eating?
I love their cracked crab and black bean sauce.
Oh, sounds delicious.
What
about you? What do you like?
I like him. I like beef and tomato, I guess.
It's good. It's really good food.
You better do interview him.
Tomato beef fried rice, and it's good. I don't know what else. It's reasonable. Trudeau comes here, why not us?
Do you think his coming had a great influence?
On the restaurant? No.
No,
not at all. Whoever follows Trudeau isn't very smart.
Oh, I shouldn't put that on radio. I get sued for that. Thank you. Excuse me, could you tell me why you come to this restaurant?
For the good food.
For example, what?
The tomato beef fried rice.
That sounds very familiar. Someone just said that to me. Who recommended this restaurant to you?
I don't know. I've been coming here for years. I can't remember.
So you've been a pretty regular customer.
That's right.
Do you have any additional comments about this restaurant? Do you have good service? Is it fast?
Yes, it's fairly fast, yep.
Any complaints?
No, none, no.
Why are you coming to this restaurant?
Because Trudeau was here.
Is that all?
Best food in town.
Really? What do you think about the prices?
Very good. Very good prices. Now, for a long time, this has been a real good Chinese restaurant. The prices have been right, food's good, and the waiters are very hospitable.
Oh, that's nice to hear. What special food do you like eating here?
Everything.
Can you name a few?
Not really.
Not really.
Okay. Hi, why do you like coming to this restaurant?
Because the food's good and the prices are good, too. And it's good because you can bring your own bottle in if you want a drink and that, and it cuts down on the price of the meal that way, too. And it's really good food.
I usually see long lines of people waiting on today, is especially rainy day. How come you're willing to bear this?
Well, I think it'll be fairly quick lineup, that's why. And we don't really know any other restaurant in Chinatown that's as good as this. We've been to a couple and, you know, the food hasn't been as good, so that's why we keep coming here.
What do you mean by good?
The food is really good, the flavor's good and that, and there's a large variety. And it's not like Chinese food from the rickshaw or something like that. I think it's more, I don't know if it's more original or what, but it tastes a lot better than that, than the commercial places, I think.
What specific items on a meal do you enjoy especially?
We usually have like the almond chicken and the Chinese greens with the baby corn and beef and shrimp rice or something like that. We usually get a couple dishes. So,
thank you very much. I hope you enjoy your meal.
I've never even eaten here before. Do I like Chinese food?
Yes.
Yes, I do. But I've never eaten here before at all.
Who recommended you to this restaurant?
My brother. He's eaten here before and he says it's very good.
So is he a regular customer?
Yeah, I guess so. Here he comes now, you could ask him. Are you a regular customer? Are you
he's
regular.
Oh, hi. I represent CIFRO Radio on 102.7 FM. And our program is called Pender Guy. And it's shown every Wednesday night from 9 to 10. I'm doing a documentary on On Restaurant. I'd like to see why people are coming to this restaurant.
I don't know why people are coming. I guess the food is good. It's got a good reputation. You can rely on it.
I see the larger percentages Caucasians. So, do you think it's the publicity given to it by Trudeau a few years before?
I would say that probably has a lot to do with it, yeah.
Have you heard of it through your friends or relatives?
Through friends. That's what brought us here. Just new in town.
Oh.
So we've been here maybe six times in the last short while. Not too bad.
What do you enjoy eating here?
Just about everything. The fish. I like the fish.
What kind of fish are you?
Rock cod.
Thank you very much for contributing. Perhaps the attraction of diners to this restaurant can be explained by the words of one diner. Nowhere could you find a Chinese restaurant that could compare to On in price and quantity of food offered. And this is this week's focus. This is a story about a foolish old man who tried to move the mountains.
Once upon a time, there was a very old man who stuck at whatever he did until he had finished the job. Some people thought him rather foolish and called him Lo Gong, which means old fool. Now, the front door of Lo Gong's home was blocked by two mountains. They were high mountains, and whenever Lo Gong's family wanted to go out on errands or to visit friends, they had to climb over a very difficult road for hours to get wherever it was they wanted to go. One day, Lo Gong called his family together and said to them, "These two mountains at our front door are a nuisance. I'm thinking of removing them. What do you say?" Lo Gong's five sons clapped their hands and said, "Good, good, let's remove the mountains. Open up a new wide road. It'll be much more convenient for us to go about." Lo Gong's wife said, "I agree that we can take the mountains away, but they're so big. Where can you put all the earth and rock?" One of Lo Gong's little grandsons interrupted his grandmother, "Throw it into the sea." Lo Gong nodded and said with a smile, "Right. Well, throw all that earth and rock into the sea." Early next morning, Lo Gong called his family, old and young, and began digging. Some used pickaxes. Some used baskets to remove the earth and rock, carrying it load by load to a far-off seashore and dumping it into the sea. Lo Gong had a neighbor, a woman of 40-odd, who came with her 6-year-old son to help. Lo Gong was pleased and said to them in welcome, "Good, each person's just that much more strength. And we all pull together, we'll move these mountains." At the other side of the mountain, there lived another old man who thought himself very clever and dubbed himself a sage. When this sage heard that Lo Gong had taken his whole family to remove the mountains, he couldn't help laughing. "Everybody says Lo Gong is foolish," he thought, "but I never imagined he was all that foolish. How can a mountain be moved?" He went to Lo Gong and chided him. "You're really stupid, my old friend. It's not easy to uproot even a small tree, let alone remove two mountains. How strong do you think you are? You're already getting on for 100. Lo Gong laughed out at this. He stroked his white beard and, pointing to one of his little grandsons carrying a rock, said, "You claim to be wise, but you can't compare with my little grandson. I'm old, that's true, and haven't much strength left, but I have sons and grandsons, and they're towers of strength. When they're old, their sons and grandsons will carry on the work, and the earth and rock in these mountains will be taken away little by little. My sons and grandsons, generation after generation, when time demolished these two mountains." The sage saw logic in what Lo Gong said and came along with a barrel to help the old man's family move the mountains.
Soon, I'm depending on it. depending on you.
Even though I know mountains can't be moved, I've heard a story of a fool who tried. Step we take gets us farther from where we are, where we've been and what we've done that brought us here and now. Today's only one day more till tomorrow.
David Chan has the ideal job, pinup photographer for Playboy magazine. Chan was in town recently looking for co-eds willing to be featured in upcoming issues of the magazine. Playboy models are paid $100 when photographed clothed, $200 when semi-nude, $300 in the nude, and the girl who makes the centerfold gets $10,000. Chan, who is 40 years old, advertises in college newspapers and gives his hotel phone number so that willing co-eds can pop in for interviews and preliminary photos. More than 300 co-eds at the University of Arizona in Tucson and more than 250 in U of California at Berkeley answered his recent ads. He also got pretty good responses at Stanford, U of Washington, Washington State, and U of Oregon. In his interview with Chinatown News, he says some of the best-looking young women he's photographed to date attend U of Southern California, U of Arizona, and Stanford. Generally, he says, climate has a lot to do with a girl's figure. Co-eds who attend the Big Ten schools in the Midwest tend to stay inside their forms or sorority houses because of the cold weather. They probably don't exercise as much as girls in warmer climates. They lack the tans that so many Arizona and Southern California girls get. A tan makes a girl much more attractive and easier to photograph. Chan, who has been working for Playboy for 14 years, says the most beautiful black co-eds he found were at Stanford. The most difficult models to find are the Orientals, largely because they come from conservative family backgrounds. He did discover a few, however, at Berkeley. Since 1964, Chan has found an increasing number of co-eds willing to shed their clothes for money, vanity, and exposure in the magazine. At the beginning, he says, co-eds were shy and fearful, afraid of what their folks and peers might say. But now, they take nudity in stride. For our 25th anniversary this December, we're offering $25,000 to the girl who makes the centerfold, so we're getting plenty of applicants.
The Immigrant Services Society of British Columbia, located at 622 Seymour, has a workshop in training for citizenship. Let's say you're applying for Canadian citizenship and have been in Canada long enough to know a lot about this country. However, to become a citizen, you will have to be able to answer some questions based on what you know. To help you in understanding the interview procedure, the type of questions you will be asked, and the answers to them, this service has a series of 6 learning classes which are held twice weekly. Lectures are in English, so it is necessary to have an understanding of basic English in order to benefit from the program. Classes commence in either afternoon or evening sessions for 3 weeks. Immediately upon enrollment of a full class of students, they are held on Tuesday and Thursdays in the afternoon from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. or in the evening from 7 to 9. Applicants for citizenship who register for this are advised by phone or mail as to the commencement date of a new series of lectures. So, if you wish to attend these classes, for which there is no charge, phone Mrs. Eleanor Strong at 684-2561. Do it now, as the number of students at each class is limited, and once the maximum number is reached, other applicants will have to wait until a new series commences.
Wanted desperately is a dedicated, community-minded volunteer to be the ad manager for the Downtown East, the paper for DERA, the Downtown Eastside Residents Association. About 3 days work per month are involved, and the hours are variable. So contact Jean Swanson at 682-0931. That's 682-0931 if you're interested. Thanks for listening to this week's show. Coming up in the future weeks are Cantonese lessons. They'll focus on actual situations where it'd be most helpful to know Chinese, for example, buying things in a store or even ordering dim sum. Next week will be a feature on Roman Tam and Chelsea Chan. I hope you'll be with us then. The preceding program was produced and copyrighted by Pendergai Radio, all rights reserved. This is CFRO FM 102.7.